Welcome to the Plain Label Podcast, episode 100.
Ah, Miss Post. May I join you?
Mr. Meyerberg, I suppose, sir.
Meyerberg? I'll have what she's having, please.
Very well, sir.
I do love eating with a spoon, don't you? Now, Miss Post, perhaps you can help me on a matter that's been troubling me. Do you believe that women have souls?
I'm afraid I'm not very interested.
Quite. I do so agree. Bodies matter so much more than souls, don't you think? Or are you, alas, like so many young English women, a prisoner of outdated inhibitions? Do you know what D.H. Lawrence said?
I do, actually, yes.
He said there must always be a dark, dumb, bitter belly tension between the living man and the living woman.
Mr. Meyerberg, do tell me about the book you're writing.
Ah.
Excuse me, sir.
Well, thank you. I intend to prove that Branwell Bronte wrote Wuthering Heights, and Jane Eyre, and The Tenant of Wildfell Hall.
A work of fiction, is it?
Yes, well, it's enough about me. Tell me, Miss Post, do you care about walking?
What about it?
I thought we might take some nature walks together. Go on discussing art and literature like this. But I better warn you, I'm pretty susceptible.
Well, then, perhaps we should postpone the walks until the weather's a bit finer. It would be too bad if your book was held up because you'd caught a cold.
I'm talking about sex, Miss Post. Yes, you see, I believe in utter frankness about sexual things. Ye fornicators! Fornicators!
I assure you, Miss Post and I are just old friends. We met in London.
Oh, aye, the devil's city, the stinking pit of whoredom. Come on, young lady. It's back to cold comfort for you.
That's what I'm talking about. Gummy worms and kids, huh? It's like chumming the ocean for sharks.
You're a genius.
Yeah.
Hold on, what's going on?
Who's,
I don't know.
What is this guy? What?
I don't know.
Why is he talking to Archie?
I don't know.
Should you go talk to him?
Should I?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I mean, if he's gonna...
Oh, here he comes. He's coming.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Is that boy yours over there?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I caught this. This, my friend, is a pest that wreaks havoc on little boys' bellies. I don't know where he got it from, but I wanted to bring it to your attention.
Oh.
Well, thank you. That would have been terrible if he ate it.
Yeah.
My son Max is on a strict vegan diet.
Oh.
And a cleanse. Just kidding. I'm Kurt.
Hey, I'm Alex. This is Emily, my wife, Emily.
Emily, Alex, yeah. Pleasure. How are you?
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Hi, and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Zelag, and along with me, I have my good friend and co-host, Eric Evangeline Williams.
Ooh, I was hoping for Susanna for 100. I think Susanna's been the one used the most, but I'll take Evangeline.
Okay. All right. Hello. Fair enough. In this episode, we are celebrating our 100th episode by doing a show about whatever the fuck we want. There's no theme. There's no plan. Just like we like it. Pretty much just like we always do it.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like Rachel's daily life.
Right now, wake up, drink. That's all. Anyway, for this episode, we're discussing Cold Comfort Farm and the overnight. Before getting our discussion, we'd like to mention that we are brought to you by the Deliberate Noise Network. Get your sweet, sweet asses over to deliberatenoise.com and check out some of their other shows. Jesus. Okay, drink roll call time. You know I'm drinking.
I am going with, since it's our 100th episode, I figured I would be a little fancy.
Weird.
So I'm going with a Red Bull vodka, but it's the cherry Red Bull. So, stepping it up. Got a different looking
can. When in doubt, pinky out.
Yes, that's right. It's a different looking can. It's not the traditional Red Bull can. I am also, you know, have been doing not much.
Good.
Over this break, and it's been nice. I've been sleeping a lot. I have been regaining some sanity.
Good.
And it's been good, and now I'm dreading that it all comes to an end in a couple days, and I got to do some stuff that I've never done before, so it'll be interesting.
I know.
It'll be interesting. What are you consuming this evening?
I am also drinking vodka. Sounds like the drink of choice. with my favorite lime LaCroix.
Okay, see, now we prefer, well, we have all of them, if I'm being honest.
All the vodkas or all the LaCroix? It's a legitimate question for
we
you.
We have all of the LaCroix.
Okay.
We tend to just go with Svedka for the vodka. Although over Christmas break we did dabble in the Tito's and in some Goose that were both my dad's.
I was gonna say, what are you guys getting real fucking fancy over
there?
Well,
you know, teachers make a lot who you can.
Right.
But, so we're back to the regular Svedka vodka and.
I mean, nothing wrong with Svedka.
Yeah, and the LaCroix, we've, you know, played around with the different flavors, and I think lime is the best for the vodka.
Yeah, oh yeah.
We've tried the lemon, and that just tastes like tonic.
Yeah.
In it, so. And I don't even know what the other ones were. I tried it and was like, ugh, no yeah. way.
Some of them are weird. Well, I just drink the lime LaCroix anyway, usually. But, like, now when I'm out, like, at a bar, I'll order vodka water with lime instead of lemon.
Oh.
So, I don't know. Maybe the lime cuts it better or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. We should investigate that. Maybe we should be sponsored by a vodka company.
Oh, that'd be great. Jeez. Right now I'm drinking Amsterdam, which is...
Whoa.
I don't know what that is, but we bought it at the store because it was on sale. So.
Mm. You know, my dad was talking about how we just had these smaller bottles of Grey Goose and of Tito's. And he's like, well, here's what my buddies bring me when they bring over booze. And it was a little jug of McCormick's.
Your friends hate you.
And he's like, those sons of bitches. You know, he was like, this is what they bring me. And they drink all my good shit.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of how my dad talks. So.
Does he really? That's amazing.
It's kind of like me, but funnier and more fun. And he enjoys people, so it's not really like me, actually.
Kind of like me, but it, like literally the exact opposite of me.
Yeah, it's true. Sometimes I wonder, like, we are much different, Father.
Mm-hmm. What is the man? No?
Maybe. Maybe. So our first film is from 1995. And full disclosure, Anel and I just came back from watching Star Wars. So this first film is so much different than...
But it's exactly the same.
It's a little different, so it's going to take me a little bit to get my mind wrapped around and back focused on what we're talking about here. But it is from 1995, and it is Cold Comfort Farm.
Smeller, how are you?
Very well, miss.
Darling, was the funeral too awful?
I was never very close to my parents.
All Flora wanted was a little adventure.
Do you ever think of getting married?
I want to learn about real life.
What for?
To put it in books. I want to be a writer.
What will you live on? Or off?
Relatives.
She found a welcome opportunity.
If you come to this doomed house, what is there to save you?
At Cold Comfort Farm.
What's the farm like?
There's a curse on the place.
Sansa.
Appalling.
You must be Cousin Judith. Isn't it curious we've never met before?
Well, some of us has farming to do.
Get out of there, Seth, you no good son of mine.
Good day, Mother.
So you're a little lady from London.
It's the farm she wants, isn't it?
She ain't like other people's grandmothers. She's mad.
Aunt Ada, isn't it time we talked?
Go away, girl.
Now.
While I'm here, might I make a few changes?
She has a plan.
I'd love to see you in blue.
With a touch of romance.
You'll find someone.
Look, there he is!
Well, then it's quite simple. You must win him over.
Is it working?
I should say so.
A dash of glamour.
Mr. Neck. Mr. Neck is a film producer.
How would you like to be in the movies?
Oh, Seth, no!
I take her too, but she's gloomy.
And just a pinch of persuasion.
You're all down!
She'll turn things around and set things straight.
Enjoying yourself, Elfie?
Ah, it's going to be such fun.
Gramercy Pictures presents Eileen Atkins, Sheila Burrell, Joanna Lumley, Ian McKellen, Rufus Sewell, and introducing Kate Beckinsale.
Miss Post, I'm engorgingly in love with you.
In a cultivated comedy by John Schlesinger.
I'm talking about sex, Miss Post.
Cold Comfort Farm.
I saw something nasty in the woodshed.
Sure you did, but they didn't see you, baby.
In England, in the early 1930s, 20-year-old Flora Post, recently orphaned and left with only £100 a year, goes to stay with distant relatives on Cold Comfort Farm. Everyone on the gloomy farm is completely around the twist, but Flora tries to sort everything out. Bum, bum, bum.
Okay, so this is one of the few movies where you've suggested a film and I said, what is that? Like, I never even heard of such a thing. Right? Yeah. It is a 1995 film. It was a TV movie.
Right.
Over in England. And it was received well enough to where it did get a theatrical release in England and later in the U.S.
Okay.
So it did play in the, over here in the U.S. and it did quite well, surprisingly, for, you know, it didn't cost a lot, surprisingly.
Right.
But it did fairly well, and it did, you know, for the budget. So it was a successful production. But what is it, like, where did you stumble upon this movie, and tell me about where you found to purchase it? Because I believe you said that you have this, right?
I do have this.
Okay.
So I was visiting my grandmother in Alexandria, Virginia, and she is like the library for books and movies. Mm. Like, she goes to movies by herself all the time.
Can I adopt her?
Can you adopt her?
Yeah, can she adopt me, maybe? I guess that's more appropriate.
Yeah.
Well, no, either way, I mean.
Yeah, that's fine. She's adorable, but she's like super not, she's the one that sends me books for my birthday that I've never heard of, and I'm always like, I get it. Like, she knows what's good for me. but I was like visiting her, and we were sitting and drinking tea and cross-stitching and doy, and she's like, do you want to watch a fun movie? And I was like, sure. And so we just like, she just popped this in, and I thought it was like super quirky and like really super British, obviously. And so then, I think it was like my birthday or something. She gave it to me for my birthday. So I have it at my house.
Nice. So like I said, my history is zero. I had looked it up and saw that Kate Beckinsale was in it. And I was like, oh, okay. We'll see how that goes.
Right.
You know, and I saw that Stephen Fry was in it, and I was like, interesting. And the only other person, Stephen Fry, he's Myburg. Meyerberg.
Oh, right. Myburg. Yes.
And then, I knew obviously of Ian McKellen and Rufus Sewell. I knew of.
Right.
But those were the only people that I was familiar with. And so I guess just getting into it, I had a lot of fun with this, actually.
Isn't it funny?
I will confess that I did have to put the captions on for a part of it. Because I was like, what the? I was like, fucking hell. You know, because I was like, I can't understand a damn thing that's being said.
That's funny.
And I was also, the situation was, you know, Anna and I were in the living room together, and she was watching a cooking show on her iPad because that's what we allow her to watch.
Fine.
And I was having the volume not loud, so loud to where she couldn't hear it, you know, while she was watching her own thing.
Right.
And so it wasn't as loud as I would normally have it. And then I hear everyone speak and I'm like, oh no, this is going to be a problem.
It's not as bad as Snatch.
No, it's not like it's a Cockney thing. It's just they don't give any of the shit about using terminology that is very British.
Right. Right. Well, originally it was made, apparently, was a TV movie for people in England. So like, they didn't care about.
Oh, sure.
Helping dumb Americans figure shit out.
Right. Yeah. And so, once I got that on there for a while, and I think once she actually gets to Cold Comfort Farm,
mm-hmm.
I really sort of was charmed by it. And I really did enjoy the performances. And it was interesting to see Kate Beckinsale in a role where I would have never guessed her now in a role like this.
Right, agreed. Like a little sassy and kind of take chargey.
Yeah, and she's cute in the movie. She's not like, ooh, look how beautiful she is.
Yeah.
You know? It's, yes. She's got a little bit of, what's her face? The 80s girl from, Breakfast Club. What's her name? The redheaded one.
Yeah, just give me a second.
Well, I can look it up too. I just figured you would know.
Molly Ringwald.
I kept thinking Molly something else, and it was a girl I graduated high school with and was like, no, that's definitely not her name. But yeah, Molly Ringwald, to where I look at her and I'm like, oh, okay, she's kind of cute. But I don't think like, oh, what a stunner. And that's kind of how I looked at Kate Beckinsale.
Well, how old was she in 19?
She was 22, which was weird.
Okay.
Because Kate Beckinsale is older than you think. She was born in 73, so she's 6 years older than me.
Jesus, she's practically dead.
So, so she's like, she's in her early 40s.
Dang.
Yeah.
She looked good for being 40.
Yeah, and this was 95?
Yeah.
So she was 21, 22 when this came out.
So, I mean, like, when you're 21, you can still play, like, high schoolers. Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of the norm in Hollywood?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, look at, like, Varsity Blues, where everyone's, like, 35 playing high
schoolers.
What? I mean.
Mind-boggling.
Vanderbeek doesn't look like a teen in that one.
No.
Yes. So anyways, I thought that she was very good in a real prim and proper sort of a performance. To where I did like how they kept sort of making it very clear that it wasn't that she was a priss is why she didn't want to marry Meyerberg. Or Meyerbug, right, as she keeps calling him. It was just, you know, it's like, oh no, I'll kiss people on the mouth. Don't you worry about it. But just not him. He's so obnoxious.
Well, he is obnoxious.
He is. I love how he was in, he said he was engorged with love for her.
Yeah.
And I was like, ew, that's a bad adjective, my friend.
Right?
Ugh.
So gross.
No. No, thank you.
And he's like talking like super loud about banging in that like tea shop.
Yes. Yes, he is. That's, oh, that was pretty good. I was also a bit confused at the beginning when she's with her friend, the redhead.
Yes, the one from Absolutely Fabulous.
Joanna Lumley is her name. And she was Mrs. Mary Smiling. And I was like, okay, so that's her mom? No, it's not her mom. Who is this lady? Like, why is she significantly older and just like her, a really good friend of hers? Like, I couldn't quite figure that for a while.
Was she supposed to be significantly older?
I don't know. She seemed like it to me.
Yeah, I mean, she looks like it.
Yeah, I mean, she was born in 46.
Yeah, so but I mean, like, how old do you think she's supposed to be in the movie?
Oh, I guess I would think like in her 30s, maybe.
Okay.
So I don't know. Maybe it's just like a, you know, fresh out of college and someone that's, you know, an established woman kind of a thing.
Making her own bras and shit.
Yeah, making her own corsets and whatnot. So, but yeah, I really enjoyed that. And then once we get into the, once we get to the farm and we meet the cast of characters and, you know, when I was describing this movie to Annelle because she was dabbling on, apparently I'm going to say that all day, she was thinking about coming on the show, and I was like, well, we're going to do Cold Comfort Farm. And she's like, well, what is that? And I told her about it, and I was like, well, it's not really like a film where a lot like happens. Like, it's not a big plot film. It's like a character-based film.
Right, because it was a book.
Yeah, and I was like, and it's very British, and she's just kind of like, nah.
Oh,
nah.
Haters.
So we also didn't have time for it either, to be honest. So
fair enough.
But yeah, so once she does get there and meets Ian McKellen as the very funny
preacher.
Very funny preacher. My goodness, that whole sequence at the church
was ridiculous.
So well written and performed. I was like, oh my god, this is awesome.
So over the top.
And I love the trembling and they're shaking their cheeks and
yes.
Oh Jesus.
And
that
she's
really,
like, what is happening?
It really made me laugh. And what I liked about it was, you know, they went from that over the top British humor sort of thing. And then she goes to the tea shop and then that's when Meyerberg comes in and then he's like, oh, why don't we bang? Basically, you know.
And then he walks in, he's like, what's going on?
You fornicators.
Like the white wizard.
Yeah, no kidding. I was like, oh man, it's definitely Gandalf. He's
right?
Using his Gandalf voice. It's not his Magneto voice. It's his Gandalf voice.
Oh, yeah.
So they're different.
They are different. Very.
Yeah. So what were some of the things that you enjoyed about this, besides just it overall?
I did like the Ian McKellen part. I liked how she just, like, showed up and decided that she was going to help everybody.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, I have all these things to help. And I didn't realize that every British person that lived on a farm was named Seth or Rupert or Reuben.
Reuben, yeah.
Yeah, which I thought that was funny. And mm-hmm. Like, it's like you can tell, or I mean, you can't tell, but like when you figure out or whatever that is a book, you get it because it is really character driven. Like someone just sat down and they're like, who are the weirdest people I can put in this book?
Mm-hmm.
all of these weirdos. And, I mean, they don't ever say what happened in the woodshed. Nobody knows. I don't know what that is about, but that old lady is super weird.
Yeah, she's terrifying. Like, she's such a weirdo. I was like, oh, God. And I expected her to have some sort of deformation or something, which is right? why they wouldn't show her face.
Right? She's like Rachel's sister on Pet Sematary.
Yes. Instead, it's just, yeah, I saw something. And finally, Kate Beckinsale is just like, yeah, what did you see? Nothing? Don't remember? Okay, let's move on.
Right. Let's just move on. Be cool about it.
Yeah.
Take you to an old folks home? I don't remember where she goes.
Yeah, she gets whisked away at the end.
Oh, that's right.
And then I like how this is the sort of film where everyone has a problem and only this peppy, proper British woman can come solve it.
Right? It's very tied with a bow, for sure.
Oh, yeah. And I do think that what works so well about it is I do think it is a satire on those sort of, you know, a novel with manners and those sorts of movies.
I agree with that.
So I do think that they are purposefully poking at those sort of movies.
I can see that for sure.
So otherwise, you know, it's not to the level of like an Airplane or something.
Oh my God.
Right. But
they came together.
Right. But they are very aware of the format that they're playing in, I think.
That's true. So. I had to defend that movie again on Christmas Eve.
Oh, it's hilarious.
No, Katie doesn't think so.
Well, not all thoughts from Little Sister are correct thoughts.
Correct thoughts.
Yeah.
What else did I like about this? I don't know. It's just really, it's like, I don't know, you just meet everybody and she gets to know everybody and then she fixes everyone and then flies off in an airplane. It's just like a cute little British movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely one that you can just throw on and just watch. Oh, that's a funny bit. I'll just watch this here.
Yeah.
Oh, this is funny. Oh, I like the relationship with her and Charles, and aren't they clever? And
right.
Look how she picks on Stephen Fry again. And
he's gross.
You know,
why is everyone so dirty there?
I don't know. I was thinking that too. Like, especially the women. I was like, God, wash your face a little bit.
Yeah, well, that one girl washes her face, and all of a sudden the other guy's like super interested in her because she took a shower.
Oh, Elfine?
Yeah.
Not her. It's when, it's the guy that's chasing after Elfine.
The one, yes.
And it's the, I forget her name, Miriam, maybe?
Yeah, it doesn't matter what her name is, but she's gross until like literally the very end when she takes a bath and then everyone's like, oh, you're not so bad.
It's like Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, oh, you're not weird, alright. You're crazy and, you know, a kleptomaniac, but you put some makeup on, you're right.
Whatever, she was the best one in Breakfast Club.
She was the best one. I can't believe that we referenced that twice, or I did anyway.
She is in you.
Yeah. But yeah, so I do think the movie's fun. I do think it is, you know, it's one that I was a little wary of, and I wasn't really feeling it for the first couple minutes, but I definitely warmed up to it and had a good time with it, and I didn't write anything down because, like I said, I was reading the captions.
Right.
You know?
And got it.
It's one of those where I wasn't analyzing any sort of character development or anything that wasn't very obvious.
Right. And I don't think it's kind of an analyzing sort of movie. I wouldn't really think that you'd get a lot to analyze anyway, but I just didn't ever see a theme where we could pull this one out. So I was like, fuck it.
Yeah, that is true. And like we said, we are just talking about movies, and I think that it is interesting that we picked out two comedies.
That is interesting.
Because normally we try to stay away from them because they're hard to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it like we've said several times, it's either, oh yeah, I thought that was funny. I don't know, I didn't really. You know, that didn't make me laugh.
That's right.
Unless there's some that's like a holy shit. This is hilarious. People need to see it like They Came Together.
Right. Best romantic comedy I've ever seen.
This is very good. Unless it's like that.
Right.
We usually try to steer clear of them. All right. So do you have anything else about this film?
No. I'm glad that we watched it.
Me too. All right. So before moving on to my selection, we should mention that Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and choose from over 180,000 audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and get started today. And my pick, it is from this year, from 2015, and it is The Overnight.
If you're uncomfortable, you don't have to do anything you don't want to.
Okay.
Hello, you new around here?
We just moved here from Seattle.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Wow, Max has really taken a shine to your boy. Tonight is our regular pizza night. We could turn it into a welcome the neighborhood get-together. Huh. It could be fun. Want a Whole Foods now? Any dietary restrictions?
I don't think so.
Screw it. You guys, I'm so excited. Yay!
All right.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
Hello.
Thank you for having us
Thank
in your
you.
Beautiful home.
Glad you could be a service.
So
why don't we put the kids to bed upstairs and continue down here?
Oh.
Give me 20 minutes and I will give you parental bliss.
What's this?
It's a photography zone.
You know you've got a really great look.
Anybody ever tell you that?
No.
Fabulous actress.
Now
really?
That is
yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope you're not going to be disappointed.
Fasten your seatbelts.
There are things that I do in my bedroom that no one needs to know about.
I think we've reached that point in the evening where we should leave before anything crazy happens.
I'm so goddamn proud of you right now.
Is going on here.
You want to go home, honey?
No, I want to stay here forever.
This is California. I mean, maybe this is what dinner parties are like.
Alex, Emily, and their son RJ are new to Los Angeles. A chance meeting at the park introduces them to the mysterious Kurt, Charlotte, and Max. A family playdate becomes increasingly interesting as the night goes on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is a movie by Patrick Bryce, who is a writer-director of some independent films. He also did the movie Creep, which is streaming on Netflix.
And what is that about?
It is Mark Duplass.
I like him.
From The League. He plays a very creepy guy who has he has cancer and he wants to be filmed for the last like 2 days of his life.
Weird.
And so he hires a guy to come film him. Up in this remote part of, I think, Colorado. And the guy gets there and the dude starts acting really strange.
Mark so you've Duplass. Seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it. It's on.
Is it worth seeing?
Yeah, it's good. It's one where, you know, Anel and I had debated whether we should talk about it. And it was one where it was kind of like Cold Comfort Farms to where I didn't really have a spot for it. And to do a pod shot episode, it usually has to be kind of a meatier movie.
Right.
And it was kind of like how I felt with the one we're about to discuss to where we got done and we're like, oh, you know, that's pretty good. You know, as opposed to, oh man, this, let's talk about what this camera shot means and let's talk about the lighting here and those sort of things.
Okay.
But no, I liked it. It definitely ends in a memorable way. I'm not so sure how you will feel about it, but there are definitely some images that will not leave you for a while.
Okay,
and he's a very nice guy on social media. I believe it's just Patrick_Bryce, the director, the writer director. And he, I have had a little bit of a back and forth with him about his films.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And so he's a very nice guy, but, we saw The Overnight in the theater. At the Ross, yeah. Saw that at the Ross, of course, because, you know, it's an hour and 19 minutes
as right.
When Cameron comes on. You know, he loves the movies that are about 80 minutes or so. Especially horror movies, and this is not a horror movie, but it definitely is.
It's kind of a horror movie.
There are parts that are horrific.
Yeah.
There's a part that is, interesting. So it's a film that doesn't sort of overstay its welcome, which is one of the reasons why I really enjoyed it. And so we went and saw it, and immediately we're like, oh man, we should talk about that. And then we kind of, you know, didn't get to it that night, and the next day we didn't get to it, and we're like, well, I don't know. I mean, do we have a ton to say about it? It's a comedy. Like, what is it there to say? And so when we just kind of had no real theme for this episode, I was like, oh, okay, well, let's do the overnight, and it'll make Rachel watch it, and it'll make Rachel a little squeamish probably, and I'll enjoy listening to it, listening to how she was squeamish. So what I'm guessing you hadn't heard of it. What did you think of this one?
It has one of my favorite people in it.
Adam Scott.
Yes, he is adorable. And I don't mind the girl from Orange is the New Black.
Taylor Schilling.
I'm just saying how I know them. I mean, who's the other guy?
Jason Schwartzman.
Yeah, he's in stuff that I like. Okay, short story long. There were definitely some funny parts, and the acting of the people during the funny parts was like spot on.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been the sexual equivalent of me watching an I Love Lucy episode.
Yes, and what's so funny about that is that's the way that Annelle felt about it. She was so nervous for everyone there.
Like, how I had to, like, step away from it was I was like, this is Jason Schwartzman and everybody just being ridiculous. Like, his character is hilarious. Like, when they're doing the butthole scene, it was just, like, it was just spot on what his character was supposed to be doing. Like, super mellow and, like, really just serious about it the whole time, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I really...
Oh, you mean when he's trying to get Adam Scott to strip?
Well, yeah, just like from beginning to end when he's like, these look like these assholes. He's like,
can you pick out mine?
He's like, you're right. These are assholes. Can you find my asshole? And so like just his character in general is hilarious. I mean, yes, the whole premise is like super fucking awkward. And, but having said that, like everybody I think did their part to make it work. So, yeah. It was just like, the whole time I was like Brad came in a couple times and he's like, what in the fuck are you watching? I'm like, I don't know, it's Eric picked it. Eric
yeah, that, picked I do that sometimes. I don't know, this is Rachel's movie, I don't know. I don't know what this is.
Oh, God.
Secretly,
and so, like,
sometimes it's mine and I'm like, oh, this is so deep and engaging and like, this is fucking stupid. Oh, yeah, yeah, Rachel's pick, sorry.
I do that too, I go podcast movie. Like, I'm glad we can blame each other. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's nice. I'm glad we got each other's backs. But, it must have, like, affected me, cause, like, right away we left to go eat, like, we went to go get food, and, like, I explained exactly what happened to Brad in the car, and I just, like, enjoyed watching his face getting more and more scrunched up, like, with me explaining exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, one of his main questions was, did the girls kiss? Which is totally understandable, because you want to know. But, sure. It was interesting, I guess.
It was interesting. Okay, so some of the things that I appreciated about it is I do like the nervous, funny, awkward situation humor.
That makes fun of it.
You know, and that's why I like the original... UK Office, where there's scenes in that just still to this day make me really like, oh my God, I can't believe, oh no, you know, and I can watch sequence of it and just feel bad for everyone in the room, with watching Ricky Gervais do the Michael Scott role.
I bet he's great at it though.
The David Brent role is what his British name was.
Really?
Yeah.
Never trust a man with two first names.
And, and so it was, well, Michael Scott, right? And so, yeah, there's a particular dancing sequence that is just horrifying, that Ricky Gervais does.
Oh.
In the original Office. But, so that did remind me of this, and it reminded me a little bit of how Adam Scott's character is in Parks and Rec, where he's a little, you know, not quite the cool guy.
Yes, I don't think that he will ever play the cool guy.
No, and I do love how he's very nervous funny. You know, like, yes. He's just a guy.
Oh, no, that's... yeah. Like I said, everyone, the casting was great, mm-hmm. for sure.
Mm-hmm. I think that some of the quotes in here are really, really good. My first one was that there's still time. There's still time for me when they're masturbating in the morning.
Oh, my God. Yeah. See, I don't understand. I put, why don't you just lock the door? Like, I don't get it, but that's just me.
Well, that ruins the film.
So. Oh, I thought you were going to be like, you don't have kids. I'm like, even if I had kids, I would lock the door.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have locks. Yeah, we don't have locks, I guess.
Get a padlock and a chain. It's not that big of a deal.
Smart. She's never going to get one of those, I'll tell you that.
Well, that, I mean, that's just funny. Like, that whole scene is so... Like, even if you don't learn the facts about his penis that you learn later, that scene itself is so true to life, I'm assuming, for some people, that, like, you probably just have to laugh.
Oh, yeah, it's the good stuff, and, yeah, I do appreciate that. I like how they're underprepared as parents moving into L.A., to where they cut off part of the kid's pants to make them shorts.
Oh my God, that was hilarious. Him talking to himself was like one of the funnier parts of the movie for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I put that Jason Schwartzman, he makes me uncomfortable.
Just in general?
Just as a guy. I just am, I don't ever know what to...
Is it because of his giant penis?
Well, we'll get to that. I think that it's, whenever I see him, he's always in some kind of a weird guy role.
She's my Rushmore.
Like, right? Like, he's not just a normal person. And so I'm always like, oh, God, he's going to do something that's going to make me feel weird.
Yep. I feel like people say that about you.
Probably. Probably.
I agree, though. Like, but I think that has to do with, like, him just not looking kind of like a every man.
Ah, yes.
And so, I wouldn't say typecast because a lot of his roles are really weird, but like, he plays a kind of outside the norm guy and he does it really well.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's in Fantastic Mr. Fox too. Just his voice. And
yeah,
his voice
that's right.
Is awkward.
Yes. It is. Yes, it is. He is, man, God, he just makes me feel weird. I don't know.
Well, and it's just so, like I said, he's just so cavalier about all of the situations in this movie that, like, he just sells it. So he just sells the character, and, like, when he's drinking the pee, the recycled pee.
Oh, the sewage.
Like,
the sewage,
like,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I would never let you drink sewage. Oh, my gosh, no. No, filtered water. I'm just like a man of, you know, all jack of all trades. I'm just so great.
I think what is effectively uncomfortable for me is that it is like my nightmare of going and meeting new people.
Right.
Right? Because I'm like, oh, God, this is why I don't go meet anyone. This is
exactly.
Why
well, you know what reminded me of you was the fucking two-buck Chuck shit.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, this is Eric Williams. Like, why are we bringing this shitty wine to this place? And you rip the label off, and you're like, this is for my friends.
That's it's organic.
It's not a label because it's local.
Yeah,
so,
it's organic. It's good. It's good.
I could just see you doing that, and Anel being like, oh, my God, it's fine.
Yeah. She's like, you know what? Anel would definitely be like, I'll fucking drink it all then. Don't
right.
Worry about it.
No, she doesn't care.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's got to go exactly how I have it scripted in my head, or else what's the point?
Oh, my God, exactly. That's why introverts are so great.
Yeah, that's right.
But, yeah, I don't want to say I could see myself doing this because obviously all of this is fucking nuts, but I going to meet new people and going to their house, like you want everything to go so well. And so you're like kind of flexible about stuff and then like, oh, you should stay. And you're like, I don't, okay.
It makes sense. I mean, the kids are asleep.
They kind of just like say okay to things until like they say okay to like all the things. I guess is kind of how it works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, it's like having a continual yes man.
Yeah. So this is, it should be called the overnight, or in parentheses, don't meet new people.
One of the questions that I had was, do you think that they are believable couples?
Adam Scott and What's-Her-Face, yes.
Okay.
The other two, not so much.
Not so much for Charlotte and...
Kurt.
Kurt, yes. Okay. I can see that. I think that, I do like that... Oh, I think some of the things that I could, not really identify with, that I could appreciate, is when he's throwing up.
Oh, in the pool...
Yeah, he throws up, and she's, like, really sort of baby-talking him.
Yeah.
And is like, oh, it's okay, you know, and then he's in the robe or in the hot tub and all that.
How many robes do you have?
I got a dozen robes. Buy them in bulk or whatever he said.
I wish.
That was the thing
where... That made me want to buy robes.
Once I heard that, I was like, oh, that's an improv line right there.
Yeah.
But, it's when she's talking and she's sort of trying to be the, oh, look how nice I am and how... thoughtful I'm being to my poor husband who is puking all over and drank too much and all that stuff, is when she was saying those sorts of things, I was like, oh God, like, of course this is what she's going to say. And I'm like sitting there judging the way that she's not really overreacting, but like being overly nice about it. And instead of being like, you fucking dumbass, like, what are you doing? Why are you throwing up? And so when she was saying that, I was like, man, that is a believable couple for me.
Really? Because when I saw her baby talking, like, I feel like maybe it's just from my perspective of relatable things,
mm-hmm.
Is like, that's how I would probably talk to Brad if he was vomiting and I don't think that he should be drinking anymore, and it wouldn't be like I was pandering to him, but like, that would probably just be how I would talk to him in my motherly, are you going to drink more and vomit voice.
Yeah, I would think that's what I thought was realistic about it, was that that's the way that she talked to him. I feel like if it was a situation to where they were at home, she would have been like, God, what is your deal? But since they were trying to impress and still at this unfamiliar home, they were
I would baby talk him at home too.
Oh, okay, well, I wouldn't have done that.
After he was like hungover, then I'd be like, remember when you threw up? You're stupid.
So that was really dumb.
You baby talk them through the bad part and then you throw it in their face later. You obviously don't know how to play the game.
There you go. and I did mention that I do like how this movie, and this was related to the time, was I like how it doesn't really fuck around. You know, it's like, here's the deal. They're new in LA, going to a birthday party at the park. Adam Scott doesn't like or know any of these people, or they don't like him. Apparently, it seems like, you know.
Yeah, who the fuck was the tattoo guy?
I don't know, but he was.
I wouldn't like that guy either.
That was a great stare down that he gave him.
It was beautiful.
And it's just from there, and then the movie starts like right away.
Yeah, I liked that too. I mean, like you said, they didn't have time to be like, oh, look at all the fun shots of LA and shit. I mean, they could be a park anywhere. I wouldn't know. But like, even immediately after they meet Kurt, he's weird.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's got his Amish hat, his Amish-looking hat.
And he, like, gives him back the gummy bear or the gummy worm.
I would like to make you aware of something.
It's, like, a super awkward joke. Because, like, in L.A., some people think that gummy bears are gross, I guess. I don't know how that works, but... I
don't want to know those people.
So, like, the breast pump videos.
Yes, the breast pump video and the humongous penis. Those are the last two things I had to talk about.
I mean, okay, so why don't we do this, like, what was the most awkward scene when they were doing penis dancing? Was that
Well, it was awkward at first when Jason Schwartzman has his humongous fake penis on.
Fake penis?
Well, yeah, I mean, they both wore Merkins, the little pubic wigs.
I didn't know that was the name of it.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
That's adorable.
And so when they whipped that out, literally, I was like, holy shit. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, this must somehow relate to Adam Scott having a little wanger. And so then I didn't expect to see them to him. I didn't expect to see Adam Scott de-pants also. And so when he's like pumping him up, saying that he's a stud and all this stuff and he's a stud horse. And then he drops trow and he's got this little pinky dick.
Oh, it's so sad.
He's dancing around. And it's like, it's the motion of him dancing around is what, it just makes me feel so uncomfortable.
Well, and I mean, how can I say this without sounding, well, you know what? It doesn't matter. When you dance, when you are a normal man and you dance around like that, there's like a swinging motion that's supposed to happen to right. your penis that did not happen, and that in itself was awkward also.
Yes.
I was yes, like, it's was. Just sticking straight out.
Yep, there was
real
no
fucking
hang.
Weird. It's like a little smoky. Just boom. Super yep. awkward.
It was very, very uncomfortable. And I was like, I, you know, every time, and even now, like I'm all rosy in the face. And like, I got like the laughs like underneath my jaw. Like if something's too sweet, you know? And you're like,
yes.
Like that. It's, it gets me right there because it's like, God, this is, that's just such a, I mean, I'm sure I can imagine him wearing that and just being like, look at this, guys.
I know.
Oh my goodness.
I do, you, I mean, like, I have to give, like, as far as the scene goes, like, that couple, the new couple, Kurt and Charlotte, they're actually, like, pretty, like,
supportive
of, you know, these two, and, like, you don't think, you know, like, they're gonna get killed, you know, you don't think, you just think weird shit's happening, but also, like, they seem like fairly nice people. It's
sure.
just, like, really weird. And oddly sexual.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I definitely trusted her, or I trusted him less than I did her. Just because I have a prejudice for Jason Schwartzman, because I think he's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, they were both weird. But, like, see, that's where I don't think, like, because you try to put yourself in one of these people's situations, so. But, like, I would never immediately open up to people as much as these people did, so like I would never get to that point where they're like, oh, you have a small penis or whatever. Like, we would never get to that. We would have left way long before that. Like, yes. I'd be like, thanks for the grub, peace, you know, yeah. So, I don't know. Just the whole premise of the movie was
But yeah, so that really, struck me as awkward, and then I'm like, okay, well we have all of this stuff with Kurt, and Charlotte's just gonna be this breast pump model person, and she doesn't have anything weird going on with her at all. And then we finally get to the point where they leave to go get,
more whiskey.
Even though they have a bunch at the house. And she goes on her little adventure, and she goes and gives a guy a hand job at this, like, Asian masseuse place.
Right.
And it's her looking at Taylor Schilling watching, is what I was like, oh my God, like what is going on with this couple?
And then she's like smiling about it.
And I think what's weird is it's not supposed to be like a titillating scene because it's in like weird day glow, like weird glow light. And you see like her, or black light, I guess it would be.
Yeah.
And you have like her teeth are like shining more than they should. And I'm like, God, this is just weirding me out. Like,
right. I think it's supposed to be creepy.
Yeah. So that was effective for me too.
I thought that, didn't he say that she was a masseuse or
yeah,
something?
He said that, well, he said that she's, doing that on the side.
And so, like, I thought that was her job and that he was, like, supporting her doing that, and they were just, like, overly sexual about everything.
Mm.
And that, but, like, obviously that wasn't the case,
right.
So.
Right. So tell me about the breast pumps and the awkwardness surrounding them.
That part wasn't as awkward as other parts were. Like, mm-hmm. I immediately when I saw the first breast pump video, to be fair, that's what I thought they were doing. They were like, this was a porn.
Oh, okay.
I didn't think it was an instructional breast pump video because I'm assuming that you wouldn't just sit there and whip off your lacy bra and put, you know, like, probably a real breast pump video is going to be more informative and less sexy because I'm sure after popping a kid out of your vagina, the last thing you want to see is a nice looking girl in lingerie. I'm just saying.
Probably.
So, like, that's what I thought anyway. So when he, like, confirmed it, I was like, yeah, I know.
Gotcha.
So. Just playing detective.
The Mommy's Milk series.
Right.
Sheesh. I was like, I think is the word series was when I was like, okay.
Right. Nah, I got
check,
it.
Please.
I got it. Just give me one of your butthole pictures and I'll leave.
Right. I did feel uncomfortable once you know, because I felt so bad for Adam Scott and Taylor Schilling most of the time. I did really like the sort of one actual fight that they had in the bathroom.
Yeah.
To where it was finally to where the, you know, she kind of fucks up. And it seems like in movies all the time you see to where the guy's just some horny asshole and the poor woman is being cheated on or whatever.
Right.
And then she's kind of trying to make it out to be like that. And then she kind of gets caught in the way that she words some things.
Yeah.
And he's like, whoa, wait a minute.
He's like, ew, it's you.
No, let's not talk about this anymore.
I mean, to be fair, my husband had a tiny penis. I would probably, you know, I don't know what I would do. I don't have to worry about
that.
Yeah,
it's one of those where you're like, I'm just, whew, I'm glad I dodged that bullet, I guess.
Yeah, really.
So the circles, you don't have to use that advice.
No, we don't have to worry about circles over here. Shit.
That's good. This is one for mom.
Oh, I snorted. Oh, shit.
That's what episode 100 is all about.
One for mom.
Yeah, one for mom.
That's your mom listens to, that'd be way more awkward.
That would be weird.
Do it.
I don't know that she'd be able to figure it out.
Fair enough. I don't know. I'm trying to think of other ridiculous things that went on. I mean, it's all pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it's all pretty ridiculous. I do think that the way that it ends, I'm kind of like, I'm watching it and I'm like, you know, everyone's feeling bad and then they're starting to feel better. And then once, they reveal that it's, you know, Kurt is after Adam Scott's character.
Right.
And not Taylor Schilling. And I'm like, what? Wait a minute. What's going on now?
But then it all clicks together, right?
Yes.
Like the wife has her own bedroom. The guy's drawing pictures of buttholes.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I can say butthole in this podcast, but I'm working on it.
Probably five or six shy, I'd say.
All right. Fair enough.
Keep working. But yeah, so I was like, oh, holy shit. And I was still okay when they were just kissing and stuff, but it's when he lays Jason Schwartzman down,
and I'm like,
oh my goodness, like, holy shit, where is this movie going?
Well, and she gives him, like, the wife head nod.
Yep, the it's okay.
Like, it's okay to touch that man's penis in front of all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I remembered what I was gonna say, the two things. I don't feel sorry for them at all because they're grown ass people and they can decide to leave at any time. So, like, that's on them for mm-hmm. making decisions. And the sure. other thing is, how much can one person drink and how many drugs can you do before you just like fall over and die? Because they were fucked up for like 5 or 6 hours.
Yes, they were. And I do like how, you know, they realize what time it was and Taylor Schilling's like, I gotta work today.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
I would not go into work.
Like,
I would.
Wow. You should have rethought things.
Yeah. Like right at the beginning when they're like, you could stay.
Like, nah, I gotta work tomorrow. Sorry, guys.
Right. Oh my gosh, people.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that was an ad lib. Who knows?
No, I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. But, so like, what did you think about the end scene where they were like, together?
So and they're all kissing and I was saying to Anel, not that it mattered, but I was like, I wonder why they had the girls have basically the same haircut because you can't really tell like who's doing what.
I thought about that too. Short hair blondes. Maybe it wasn't about them.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I guess they all have a somewhat similar look in terms of their hairstyles are fairly similar.
Sure.
You know, but maybe that's why Kurt and Charlotte picked them out because they looked similar to them. Maybe.
So he wanted to have sex with himself.
Maybe. Just going through things. But no, so once they did that, and I was like, oh, this is what we're doing? Like, holy cow, okay.
Right? Shit got real.
Yeah, and I was like, what? And, of course, the kids running in and all of the, are you guys wrestling? And all that sort of stuff. Yeah, we're just wrestling, buddy. You know, all of that really made me laugh. And, you know, especially in the movie theater, in the Ross, which is being such a small little venue, it was a thing where I was like, oh my God. I was like, what's going to happen? What are they going to show in this movie next?
You know, that's
kind of what I was wondering. And, you know, the movie ends up ending and, you know, we see them communicate later. And I do want to make sure and mention that once the lights came on and the credits are rolling, there was an older couple who was leaving, and another couple said, so you guys want to come over later?
Oh, my God!
And that was pretty good. Like, that had most of the crowd laughing, so.
All creepy aside, I would have got their number, like, not to bang them, but they sound like fun people.
Yeah. I was like, holy shit, that is some good stuff. That is some nice timing, sir. I congratulate you.
Solid.
Yeah. But so, no, I thought it was uncomfortable and funny, and I did appreciate it.
I almost didn't want that very last scene to happen.
Oh, where they meet up again.
It happened differently. Like, I wanted them to see them and see the other couple and be like, don't look at them. I don't know what I wanted. Because, like, honestly, after you touch another man's penis, is there really a way to just come back and be friends? Isn't it like dating where you can't go back a step?
I don't know.
Or can you?
I guess I don't have the experience to know.
And I'm... This one is for the moms. And I mean, like, after you tell your wife that you would prefer having sex with men, do you really think going through therapy is going to help you?
Well, they wanted different things. Maybe she, I don't know.
I don't know either. That was just a weird, like, that was an ending I wasn't expecting. Like, I didn't think, because of the movie, there was going to be a put a bow on an ending.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, and I was like, oh, okay. I mean, whatever. It didn't take away from the ridiculousness of the movie or anything, but... I just thought there was going to be like a don't look at him or I thought maybe there'd be a wave and then like they both just kind of nod and go
like
on their way.
A weird look on their face and then it cuts to the credits.
Yeah. Or they just like agree that they had a weird fun night and like don't ever talk to me again. Cause that's kind of probably where I would go with that.
I did like that. Schwartzman says that he sold his paintings and he says he sold them to his wife.
Right.
So that little bit was funny. That was also seems like an ad lib to me, but
right.
So that was pretty good. So what did you think of it overall, though, Cruz?
I won't ever watch it again. Mm. Just so you know,
uh-huh.
It's going to be a put on. And
I mean, that's what I was going for, though. As I wanted to find something that I thought was funny, but I knew after watching it and suggesting it to you that it was going to be a one time go.
Right.
That to where you don't appreciate having that sort of nervousness. For people on screen.
I really don't.
Yeah.
What did I say? Oh, the sexual equivalent to an I Love Lucy show. Yeah. I'd stick by that.
There you go. That's like a blurb.
Yeah.
Should be on the back of the DVD.
Two thumbs up. Well, one thumb up and one thumb in. How about that?
Jeez. She's full of them today. Man.
Something
about that vodka gets her, she's got all the quotes.
I love vodka so much. Where do we talk about? Oh. Yes. So I did like it. I'm glad that I watched it. Sort of. I don't really know how to be glad about that. But it was just funny and real weird and I really just get, you know, it's like when you watch a comedy and someone pulls their dick out for no reason, mm-hmm. like that annoys me, but for some reason, like, this went with the plot, so it just had to be okay.
Sure.
So, I don't know.
I do appreciate the size of the fake penises that they went with.
Oh, yeah. Because there was no middle of the spectrum.
No. No, and I do think it's funny every time I hear Adam Scott say horse cock.
Oh, I know! Well, he can say anything and be adorable.
Mm-hmm.
He's so cute.
Yeah, he's been on, he's a podcast veteran on, How Did This Get Made? With Paul Scheer from The League.
Mm-hmm.
It's him and Ralphie's, or Rafi's?
Rafi.
It's those two's, movie podcast.
Oh, that's funny.
And Adam Scott's been on there a few times.
We went to some nerd movie. And a guy that sounded just like Adam Scott sat behind us and talked about nerd things, so I thought it was him, but
really?
It was.
Oh, we just got back from Star Wars and it, had a ton of kids in it and was very full for it being out for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was pretty good. I know that there's like a billion different, podcasts talking about it and I didn't really want to do a show because I don't know that I'll have anything to add. Compared to what everyone else is saying.
Right.
But Anna enjoyed it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it's 2.5 hours. She's never seen a Star Wars movie before, and she followed it fine and had no problems with it. And felt sad when she was supposed to feel sad and laughed when she was supposed to laugh and all that stuff. So,
are you going
to
let her watch the first three then?
You know what? I don't have any of them.
I have the first one.
Like the A New Hope? Original Star Wars? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's one of those where I always felt like I should have them on DVD, but I've just never... I didn't want, like, the re-edited ones.
Right.
And I think that I saw that they're coming out with a regular, like, original version release.
They're coming out with literally everything Star Wars that you can buy in your house.
They're coming out with all of the things.
Yes.
So, I would have her see the first ones, and she, being young enough, might get a kick out of the newer ones.
Ugh.
You know, just because she doesn't have to do any thinking.
Right, or be mad about Jar Jar Binks. Yeah, she might think he's funny.
Yeah, she might be like, oh, he sounds weird. And
he's hilarious. Yeah,
she also sounds weird at the moment because she has no front teeth.
Oh, she didn't get any for Christmas?
No, she lost them both the last 2 days.
She'd be a naughty and you hit her?
They were, she was getting a snaggletooth situation, so we're glad they're gone.
Oh, good.
Because they're both loose and they were like overlapping. We're like, that's a bad look. You should probably pull those out.
Oh, so, didn't you just pull them yourself?
No. I threatened. You better start listening. You know, something like that.
You're so intimidating.
I am when I want to be.
Not to me.
Well, not to you, maybe. You should hear when I yell, though. It's pretty impressive.
No, I bet. No, I believe you, but I don't think you'll ever be intimidating to me.
Well, I would hope not. What would be the point of that? So, all right. Well, Cruz, anything that you... How about this? How about I spring this on you? We should have fucking prepared for this.
No, oh, God.
Can you think of a particular movie that you wished we would have never done, or a movie that we were really glad that we did over our 100 episodes?
You serious?
Yeah.
A movie I wish we'd never done? Can't you answer that for me?
Besides Old Boy, I mean, that's just the stock answer.
What I wish we hadn't done is the movies that bombed, because that was just depressing.
Oh, that's right. That is the other, other thing. That's like the other, like the thing I'll never live down is having that theme end up going.
But I was so excited about it. We were like, oh, we're going to rip these movies apart. It's going to be great. Like, we do that sometimes where we think of a theme and we're like super gung-ho, and then we get into it and we're like, oh, this name is the best idea we've ever had.
Mm-hmm. Well,
But that was definitely the worst, because it was just depressing to watch those movies.
Yeah. Oof, that is for sure. Man, those were rough.
Yeah.
That was rough talking about the biggest bombs. I mean, they were bad for a reason. People didn't go watch them for a reason.
Right, that's very true.
Sheesh.
And some of the ones I'm glad.
Yeah.
There are some movies that I would have never watched if you wouldn't have made me. The one once, I probably would have never watched that, and I'm glad I did.
There we go.
And what was the one where they're in the Nazi camp?
Oof.
It's like, is it a
life
beautiful,
is beautiful
life? Life is beautiful. Yeah, I would have never, I don't think I would have watched that.
I think that was, yeah, that was even your pick, but I think it was one of those where we just had the topic and you're like, how about this?
Yeah, because I think it had captions or whatever, and so that's not really my style.
I think, let's see, for me, the themes that I regret, obviously the bombs.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Brad's pick was
He's
rough.
The worst.
That was rough.
Romantic comedies, ugh.
Well,
that was like some of our first ones.
Or our first ones, yeah. Well, your Rachel's terrible picks. That was our second episode where it was all of the bad
romantic comedies.
Romantic comedies and how all of the movies were the same.
I mean, that was kind of philosophical
that was almost 4 years ago.
I don't even know that, Rachel.
Jeez, it was all like you had a document and you had all of these notes that you're gonna
I remember
talk about.
That because it's like they're literally all the same movie.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Then we did after that episode 3, Leap Year and the Ides of March.
Oh, because we're doing Irish movies. What was the Ides of March? I don't even remember that one.
The Ides of March, that's with Gosling and George Clooney. And it's that Time magazine cover.
Oh, that one was okay.
Yeah, that was all right. Leap Year was
not
okay.
Leap Year was a shit show.
That was really bad. Whew. Cause yeah, then after that we did Irish and drinking movies with like The Departed and stuff like that, right?
Yes.
Cause that's the only one that we've ever had to re-record was The Departed episode. Or The Departed section. And that was when we were just, you know, new to the game and didn't hit the record, or I didn't hit the record button.
I was gonna say.
And that's when we got through most of it and I was like, oh yeah, now we're hitting our stride. This is good discussion. Oh shit, Rachel, I didn't hit record. We're gonna have to do that again.
I remember that. And then you're like, just say what you were saying. I'm like, I don't know the fuck I was saying.
Yeah, and it went completely, it went completely a different direction, but it was still good. I thought that worked pretty well.
I'm going through all the movies we missed.
Yeah, I've got the folders. I got the folder up. So I've got all of my
deals. I liked the twist endings. That was probably one of my favorites too.
Yeah, that's a good one. That one, the only problem we had during that, it was like, well, we all know all of these are going to end with a twist.
Right.
So you're always kind of on your guard.
Spoof endings was hard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember they were called, it was called Dusty. That's what I called it. The movies that make you cry. Dusty in here. Yeah.
Oh, we're gonna do those again soon.
Yeah, we are. We got a whole host of things that we're gonna do for
2016, going for par.
That's right.
Seriously though, if you don't set lofty goals for yourself, you're never gonna let yourself down. This is the best idea I've ever had.
I think so. I think you're really onto something here. I think that's pretty good. Here's like another one that we did that was weird. I don't even remember the 70s and 80s comedies. I don't even remember doing that.
No, I don't either.
Hmm.
Maybe we didn't.
Yeah, I don't know. I got the folder, so I
maybe guess somebody else is like doing stuff. Oh yeah, murder mysteries.
Yep, murder mysteries. We did the different where we did the brackets for the Ultimate Warrior, the action films.
Oh yeah, who did we say won that? Was it Superman?
I don't even think that was a one that we did because we haven't talked about that movie.
Well, shit.
I know Predator was one that did well.
Oh, I think it might have been.
Predator, and I think Rambo did well.
I think of Predator sometimes when I watch wide receivers that have long hair.
Oh, yeah, the Predator hair. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are dreads, and it's coming out the back like the Predator.
Especially when they have, like, a tinted visor. I'm like, mm-hmm. You look like Predator.
You know, they can't do that anymore in college. They don't let them have tinted visors anymore.
Why cares? Oh, because you can see where their eyes are going?
Well, because you have to be part of a team. Everyone has to look the same.
That part's stupid. It's so you can see where their eyes are going so you can defend them, which I get.
That's true.
What did Brad pick?
I don't know. They weren't very good because he just picked random things.
No, he picked movies off of our shelf.
That's what I mean. Like, he just grabbed random ones, though, right? Like, he didn't even look at them. I thought you had said...
Yeah, you're right.
You know what has been interesting, though, is that throughout the 100 episodes, I don't think once that we've ever done a movie where it's like, oh, no, I'm going to do a pod shots, or we already did a pod shots on that. Like, I don't think we've got far enough into the discussion to where you really wanted to pick something, and it's been one that I've already recorded.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Which is weird, because we've done, you know, this is our 100th one of these, and I've recorded 88 Podshot episodes, and you've been on probably another 10 or so of those, I would guess.
Yeah.
5 to 10. And then with the different baseball and the different comic book ones, like, we're probably close to 200 total episodes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think you picked Podshots that you know I won't like. Every once in a while, I'm like, oh, I want to talk about that, but it's not like I'm going to cry about it. So.
Yeah, we did 14 special edition ones, so that would be 102. So, yeah, this is episode, like, 203 or something total. So there you go. It's a lot. It's a lot for us.
It is a lot for us. Are we going to do a John Irving this year, then?
You know, that's funny, because for a little peek behind the camera... For those behind the microphone, that sounds weird. We were going to do a John Irving month for The Door in the Floor and A Widow for 1 year.
Yes.
And I'm still not done with the book.
Why don't you just read 158 Pound Marriage because it's short, and I'll read it again.
Yeah, and so we have done The World According to Garp. I think that one was one of my favorite episodes just because it was different.
And because that book was amazing.
Because the book is fucking amazing and just tore me apart. So that part was good. Like, approaching the discussion for me was not fun because I'm like, oh, and I'm thinking, like, I'm not going to be able to keep my shit together. Like, this is going to be rough.
Good.
So, you know, where I pick movies that I think Rachel is going to dislike sometimes, I end up getting shit that's going to make me cry, and I'm like, God, this is going to be bad.
So, I guess, yeah.
It's a yin and yang sort of situation.
It is. Can you be the yang? I feel like that's more of a boy.
Yeah, that sounds right. Okay, well, let's put this baby to rest here.
All right.
Sorry for springing that on you there, but yeah, so you can close us out and we can move on to 2016.
Boom. If you have any comments for the show that are nice, or themes, suggestions, or movies, wow, way to get your commas in there, that you would like to hear us talk about, please feel free to email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow the show over at Twitter at @PlainLabelPod, where you can follow Eric Williams at EricWilliams79 and me at LadyZelag, SceLag. We have a Facebook page where you can like the show, just search Plain Label Podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next year. Ooh la la. I like that. With a discussion on movies we miss in 2015.